Well, I do welcome each and every one this evening to our weekly prayer meeting. It is good to see you, and I do pray that the Lord will richly bless us once again as we gather around his precious word. We're returning this week once again to the book of Psalms as we continue to consider our psalm for the week. And this week we come to Psalm 57. Psalm 57, and we're going to take the time once again to read the psalm together, and then we're going to study it and go through the verses with each other with the help of the Lord. And I do encourage you even open your Bible if you have it. Psalm 57, it is entitled "To the Chief Musician, Al-Tashkith, Michtam of David, When He Fled from Saul in the Cave." The verse 1 of Psalm 57, it says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down, they have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be above all the earth." Amen. And may the Lord richly bless the reading of his precious word once again. Psalm 57, I've entitled it this evening, "A Day in the Life of David." A Day in the Life of David. One occasion there was a Japanese woman whose heart was yearning for someone to lean on, and she testified that she went to the temple and she drew lots to see if I could get some comfort. She opened a little package which fell to her, and inside it said these words, "There is no help for you. Lean on your own shadow and go on." The Japanese woman, she testified that she was now more desperate than ever. She looked at the great sun by day, she looked at the moon by night, and she felt that there should be someone. There should be someone somewhere who could help her, who could care for her in her time of need. Upon coming to a missionary, she told him her story, she told him her needs. The missionary was able to tell her of the Heavenly Father who was there for her. And when the Japanese woman heard these words from the missionary, she burst out with a joyful shout, and whole tears of relief were rolling down her face. And she said, "Oh, I found him at last." You know, in all of our lives, there are times when there are good days. There are times when there are bad days. There are times when there are very hard days. And David was no different. If you were with us last week, you remember that we studied together the Psalm 56. And that psalm really brings to us David in his darkest hour. And how he was there in the land of Gath, having fled from Israel. He went down into the enemy territory. And there he was, and he was once again in a perilous condition. And Psalm 57, it not only follows on immediately after Psalm 56 in the scriptures in terms of the order in which they're placed, but it's also the very next step in David's life. After he fled from Gath for the first occasion, he went firstly to the cave of Adullam, it tells us in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1. And then from there he would go to the cave in Engedi in 1 Samuel 24. In Psalm 57, what we really have before us in those verses is a day in the life of David. We have an insight into his existence at that time. We have an insight into his thoughts and into his feelings, into his emotions as he was there in that cave. The psalm really is two verses or two stanzas. And in between there is a chorus. It's repeated for us. The verses 1-4 in the psalm in the Bible, it really has or brings to us the first verse of his singing psalm. The verse 5 then is the chorus. And then the verses 6-10, the second verse, and then the chorus is repeated once again in the verse number 11. But within this psalm as a whole, as we consider the day in the life of David, I want to highlight four things that are part of David's everyday life. Four things that ought to be found in all of our lives. And I trust it to be the case. That even those times, whether they be good, hard, bad times in our lives, difficult times, that we can find and we can trace these things in our lives even together. I want you to see firstly, in the verses 1-4 and then also the verse number 6, the protection that is needed. The protection that is needed. The verse 1, it begins with the words, "Be merciful unto me, O God, and be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee." And those verses go on to highlight the dangers that David was in. You place yourself into David's shoes. He had fled from Israel and he had went to Gath. And in Gath the dangers were new, but they were equally perilous. And so he had once again, he had fled from Gath and he had went back to Israel. And bit by bit, David is being cornered. Bit by bit, that net is tightening in around him. That area of freedom is just being restricted every day. There is no city. There is no town which was safe. There is no village or hamlet which he could go and hide in. There is no refuge anywhere. Now he is in a cave. And as you read these verses, you get the sense that the cave, in one regard, is his last stand. He's nowhere else to go. And as he is in the cave, you can almost picture him, and I picture him for myself. He's standing there at the entrance to the cave every day, looking out across the landscape and expecting to see in the horizon a coming nation and a coming army. He's expecting at any moment of the day for the armies of Saul to come into view and for his freedom to be taken. And so he begins the psalm with the words, "Be merciful." And the fact that he repeats it straight away, it just simply reinforces and emphasizes the fear and the danger that he was in. For David, there was only one source of protection for him. He didn't go and write a letter of appeal to King Saul or to any other king. He didn't go and write to any other nation to come and to save him. He went directly and completely to the Lord. He understood the protection that was needed. He understood that it was to be found and enjoyed in Christ. Yes, there was a great danger. He describes the situation, verse 1, as being calamities. In verse 3, he describes it that he could be swallowed up. He describes his aggressors in verse 4 as being lions, men of fire, men whose teeth are like spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. He describes his surroundings as being full of traps. In the verse number 6, he says, "Nets have been laid and pits have been dug." So much danger. He is fearful even to take one step. Outside of the cave, he just expects and he realizes everywhere he goes and anywhere that he would go is going to be a perilous, a dangerous situation. There's so much danger, there's only one place of protection. And it's not the cave in which he's hiding. It's the cleft in the rock. It's the shadow of the Lord's wings. And David here, once again, he's not looking to the things of this world for his protection. He's not looking even to the cave. He's not trusting in the cave, believing, right, I'm here, I'm safe. No, he's still saying and he's still crying unto the Lord, praying unto the Lord. Lord, I don't just need a cave. I don't just need the things of this world. Lord, I need your protection. I need to be in the cleft of the rock, Christ Jesus. You know, David, throughout the Psalms, he often describes God's protection using the analogy of being under a bird's wing. You have it as well, Psalm 91, the verse 4. You have it in Psalm 17, the verse 8. Psalm 36, the verse 7. Psalm 61, the verse 4. It's an unchanging illustration. Because the safety and the security that is found under the wing of God, it's unchanging and it's unending. Psalm 57, he's looking at protection under those wings. It tells us there in the verse 1, until the calamities be overpassed. The calamities here, it simply means storms. And child of God, we all have storms in our lives. You may say that our nation at this very moment is going through the midst of a great storm. You may say that that storm is affecting me personally. I have an individual storm going on in my life. Well, let me encourage you, each one that is saved, remain under the shadow of his wing. For there is no greater protection. Jehoiada Brewer penned the words, "Should storms of sevenfold thunder roll and shake the globe from pole to pole, no flaming bolt could daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place." Oh, what protection is needed in our everyday lives. And I do trust and pray that we have that protection. And that we know that protection and we trust in that protection. And we are found in the cleft of the rock Christ Jesus. The protection that's needed. But then secondly, I want you to see in the verse 2 and the verse 5, the prayer that is offered. The prayer that is offered. The verse 2, the psalmist says, "I will cry unto God Most High, and unto God that performeth all things for me." In the verse 5, he says, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be above all the earth." Here, it isn't actually the content of the prayer that I want to highlight, but rather David's continuity in prayer. You know, in this psalm, as I've said, we're spending a day in the life of David. This 24-hour period with him, and we're going to see, and you read it for yourself in the psalm, there's times when he's awake and there's a time when he goes to sleep. And within that 24-hour period, as we've read through the psalm together, David continuously prays. Yes, he has his set times of prayer. As we highlighted on the Sabbath day, the closet times, as it were, those times that he has set aside that he will go before the Lord and he will be before the Lord. But even throughout the day, as he's in that cave, as he's looking out, as he's eating, as he's whatever he's doing in that day, he is spending time continuously in prayer. Every time that a fear arises within his heart, he prays. Every time he looks out of the cave, he prays. He wakes up in the morning, he prays. He goes to bed at night, he's still praying. You see, prayer in the life of a Christian is not to be set or structured by time. For the Muslim, they have their set times of prayer. They have those times when they're called daily to pray. But for the Christian, prayer ought to be a continuous part of our lives. It ought to be a continuous effort made throughout the day that we are constantly conversing with our Father. As Luke 18, the verse 1, the Lord said, "Men ought always to pray, not to faint." 1 Thessalonians 5, and the verse 17, Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, he would say, "Pray without ceasing." No, it was said of Spurgeon that he never prayed for more than 15 minutes. But that he never went 15 minutes in a day without praying. Another preacher that's very famous was told that he prayed so often that when he went to bed at night, he just simply turned off the light and said, "Good night, Lord." He didn't have to spend time specifically in prayer at night because his whole day constantly he was conversing with his Father in heaven. Child of God, let me encourage you. Continuously pray. Pray when you're driving. Pray when you're waiting. Pray when you're at work. Pray when you're sitting in the evening. Pray when you're dressing. Pray when you're at home. Pray when you're outside. Whenever you're doing chores, whatever it is that you're doing throughout the day, constantly lift up your heart unto the Lord. Constantly converse with your Father in heaven. That's how David got through his hard days. He constantly looked away from the storms. He constantly looked away from the calamities, from all the pitfalls and the traps. And he looked to the Lord. Oh, that prayer would be rendered and prayer would be given in our days and throughout our days. The protection, the prayer. But then thirdly, I want you to see the praise that was rendered. The verse 5 and then the verses 9 to 11. David says, "Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Then the verses 9 to 11, he says, "I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and the truth unto the clouds." In the midst of everything that was going on, all of the pressure, all of the stresses, all of the dangers, and yet every day David sang. My, what a setting it must have been. As David's there in that cave, lifting his voice and singing praises unto God. Every day he sang. Every day he worshipped and he praised his God in heaven. Verse 9, it tells us, "I will praise thee among the people, I will sing unto thee among the nations." He wanted those days to come in the future, whenever he would be able to look back and testify even to the others around him and lift his voice in praise and say, "The Lord sustained me, the Lord kept me, the Lord preserved me, and I am alive today." Why? Because of what the Lord did then. You know, I wonder at this time, whenever we're separated one from the other, all of the worries, the concerns that there are, I wonder, do you ever sing? I wonder, do you lift your voice in praise to the Lord even in your house? I wonder, with everything that's going on, all of the restrictions, all of the news that's constantly coming at us, I wonder, do you just ever just turn to the Lord and sing? And praise him. Lift your voice onto him. You know, maybe you say, singing's for church. Singing's only to be done whenever we're there gathered in a meeting and we open our hymn books and that's when we sing. Why? Where does it tell us that singing's only restricted to being in church? Where does it say that we can't sing unto the Lord in our homes and our cars? Tell me, why do you not sing at home? Why do you not sing? Why is there not that desire, that joy flowing throughout you? We're not called to be miserable. We're not called to be sad or deflated. We're called and told to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Psalm 9 in the verse 2, it says, "I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high." You know, some may say, what is there to be happy about? Why should we sing? There's nothing good in the world. The world's in an awful state. Our nation's far from God. Some may say, my own personal circumstances are so hard. There's nothing to be happy about. David could have said all of those things. His nation was in an awful state. Saul, as king, had turned his back even in caring for his nation. And he was hell-bent on getting David to the point where his economy was going down the tube. And his enemies were able to gather against him. And it would ultimately lead to Saul losing in battle. His personal circumstances, of course, for David. Well, we've covered him already. Everyone is against him. There's no safety or security anywhere. And yet, what does it tell us? Even there in the cave, he lifted his voice and sang. Even there in the cave, he daily praised the Lord in everything he done. As it tells us, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You know, David had that verse in his heart, even though he didn't have it before him. The book of Corinthians, of course, wasn't written for many years to come, and yet David understood that verse, and David had already applied it. He didn't have to read it in Scripture. He was already doing everything to the glory of God. When he hid for the glory of God. When he went from one cave to the next, he went for the glory of God. When he ate the little scraps of food and those bits that he could gather together, he ate them to the glory and for the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you. At this time, and in all of the different times in your life, live for the Lord. Glory and worship him in everything that you do. And everything that you say. Even though times are unusual. Even though there are trials that come in your lives that are hard, that are sustained. Yet every day praise the Lord. You know the hymn that we sing, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." The verse 5 contains a line, "The mournful broken hearts rejoice." Now you consider that. The joy in a Christian even in times of mourning. The joy in a Christian even in times of sadness. That we can look to the Lord and we can give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good. For his mercies endureth forever. The protection. The prayer. The praise. But fourthly and finally, I just want you to see this last point as we finish. The plan that was over all. The plan that was over all. It's not actually one of the verses which I want to direct your attention to. It's in that introduction at the beginning of Psalm 57. It says to the chief musician Al-Tashkith. It's that word Al-Tashkith in particular. That word Al-Tashkith is used only four occasions in the Old Testament. And all of them are introductions to Psalms. The next three are two Psalms after this one, Psalm 57, Psalm 58, and Psalm 59, all contain that little word, Al-Tashkith. And then you'll find it again in the beginning of Psalm 75. Al-Tashkith means do not destroy. And so David, from the outset of this prayer, the prayer of his heart is that he would not be destroyed by Saul. That Saul, as that wicked king, as he turned and he went against David and he sought to destroy him, that Saul would not have the victory over David. You know, as we know at this point of his life, David had already been anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. And Saul knew that he had to eliminate, he had to get rid of David. And David believed, I have been anointed by God through Samuel for a very specific purpose, to be king. So he believed he had a future. He believed that one day he would sit upon the throne. And that's why he's crying unto the Lord, Lord, you must not destroy me. You must not allow Saul to have this victory over me. David was in a dark place. He's hiding in a cave, and yet, within his lifetime, his kingship was not the greatest revelation or the greatest thing that would ever be shown to him. Yes, sitting upon the throne, ruling all of Israel must have been a great achievement, must have been a great honor for David, but something greater than that was going to be revealed to him in his lifetime. He was going to have revealed to him a greater kingship than his. Because within his time, there would come a prophet by the name of Nathan. And Nathan would reveal to him that through David's descendants, the lineage of David, would come the King of heaven and of earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. So David would survive this time in his life. David, even though he's in the cave, even though all of Saul's armies are against him, even though he has no place of safety, yet David would survive this very hard, this very dark time in his life. Why? Because God's plan had to be accomplished. The plan of salvation. How applicable are the words of Isaiah 65 in the verse 8? It says there in that prophecy, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. Within David's loins, his descendants who were coming, would come the blessing. Because Isaiah 65 in the verse 9, it says, I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. David didn't know at the time of the writing of Psalm 57 that Nathan, as I said, would come. 2 Samuel 7 and the verse 16. He would come with a message from the Lord, and he would reveal to David God's plan. Yes, Psalm 57, he's living in the then, and he's living in the now. He's living in what he can see before him. That's all he had. But yet God had already all of David's future planned. God's praying, or David's praying here, Lord, protect me, Lord, keep me. And yet the Lord can already say, David, I know your whole life. And I know when you're going to become king. And I know when you're going to rule. And I know why you're going to rule. And I know who's going to come through your descendants. And I have the whole plan. My whole decree will come to pass. David would survive. He would go on to have his kingdom. Yes, he would go on to have his children. And through his children, and through the lineage, the descendants, the Lord Jesus Christ would enter into time itself. He would enter this world, and he would take a human nature into union with his divine nature. David would not be destroyed, because the plan of redemption had to be fulfilled. Christ would come. Christ would die for his people, as Isaiah 65 in the verse 9 tells us. You know, we can apply that to our own lives. Even in those times when there's much uncertainty, and even you can think of this particular time in which we live. Number one, we will never die before our appointed time. Number two, the devil can never destroy us. Yes, we may die in this world, but the evil one, the devil, can never destroy our souls. Why? Because each one who is saved is a part of the bride of Christ. And the marriage supper of the Lamb is yet to take place. Revelation 19, verses 7 to 9, it reveals to us that marriage supper of the Lamb, when the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, will take his bride, his church, his people. Everything that's happening in this world, the earthquakes, the diseases, everything that's going on in our individual lives and in the lives of the nation, of the world, is all in accordance with the will of God. And is all part of coming together for the second coming of Christ. Christian, let me encourage you to take comfort. God is in control. You are safe in his hands. You are safe when you're under the shadow of his wing. And his will be done. Yes, Psalm 57 was one day in David's life. But everything that happened had already been willed and decreed by God with a view of the coming Christ. And for us, every day comes to pass as God has planned. No man knoweth what a day will bring forth. That's absolutely true. But God knows every single thing that's going to come to pass. There's never been anything that surprised the Lord. There's never been anything that's caught the Lord off guard. The Lord knows exactly the end from the beginning. And everything that's happening in the world and everything that happens in our lives all comes together, and all is in plan, and all has been decreed by God with the second coming of Christ in view. The Lord Jesus Christ will return. Even we can see evidence of that in everything that's going on. All of the different catastrophes across the road or across the world, they're all pointing to one thing and to one thing only. Christ is coming back. Child of God, we who are ready, we can rejoice that in the hard times in life, there's a greater picture than just us. There's a greater plan than just us. Christ is coming back to gather his people onto himself. Oh, take comfort. Take encouragement. The Lord is in control, and his will be done. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the encouragement that we can find in thy word. We do rejoice even in the hard times of life that we have the protection of the Lord. We can shelter neath the shadow of his wings. And O Father, we ask thee that thou wilt enable us to pray and to praise thee continuously. We do thank and praise thee for the great plan of salvation. We do rejoice that the final act of that plan of redemption is yet to take place, when the Lord Jesus Christ will return and gather his people unto himself. Oh, for every child of God, may we look forward to that time. May we rejoice that our Lord and Saviour is on the throne. He's in control of all things. If there be any listening that are outside of Christ, oh, we pray that they will even come to thee, that they will put their faith and trust in Christ, that their preparation will be made for the return of the King. Lord, bless us at this time. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you once again for joining with us. Pray that the Lord will continue to be with and to bless each one in these days. Let me encourage once again, as it's our night of prayer, to spend time in your own homes, seeking the Lord, praising him, praying unto him, and even looking to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. May God bless each one for the glory of his eternal name. In Jesus' name, amen.